We're going to continue on with our coffee shop talks. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're just going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 13. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Hebrews 13, just one verse, verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Read again. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for what you've done through our team in Japan, God, and we are so looking forward, God, to your partnership in that country. And even as we've been praying, God, for 2020, God, to plant a church in Tokyo, we just pray, Lord, that you would just fulfill your purposes and your will and lead us and guide us every step of the way, God. We just reminded also to lift up Pastor Sophia, God. Just continue to strengthen her, use her mightily, protect her from the evil one. God, let pray the anointing, God, would flow so powerfully through her life, Lord. And let her know that she's supported by us here in Hong Kong. God, we thank you. Now, Lord, we come humbly to your word, God, and we ask you to speak to us through it, Lord. So to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 So the question today, and again, we're sitting down. We're at Starbucks, Pacific Coffee. We're having a drink, and you're saying, "P-Sam, what about this?" Now, this is actually a common question that comes to me. If I'm honest, I wish it would be more common, but it's not the top 10. But it does come my way, and so I thought it's, you know, the first time, let's make it more of a public lesson in that. And so the question that comes to me says, "P-Sam, how can I support you? I'm a member of this church. How can I support you?" You know, the beauty of this kind of series is that you can touch on so many things. And I'm going to take full advantage of this during this time as we close out this year. So the question is, well, P-Sam, how can I support you? How can I come alongside and anything, just be a blessing to you, be a blessing to this church? I mean, we talked about serving a couple weeks ago, you know, prayer, these type of things. But this is going to be probably a little bit more personal. And so I'm just going to share. Today, I'm just going to share my heart with you guys. Number one, I have four simple points. Well, one of them has 3 points. So you know, I'm not tricking you, but it'll go fast. Trust me. So number one, how can you support me? You can support me by loving my family. First and foremost, you can support me by loving my family. And this plays a big role. Obviously, my family plays a big role. You know, for me, you know, I've been married over 16 years. I have 4 children, all born, raised here in Hong Kong, Queen Mary Hospital, part of this church. They love SP. And so first and foremost, thank you to you guys, all you guys that have poured into their lives. I mean, really, what an incredible privilege to be part of a church where our kids get excited to come to church. You know what I mean? I mean, what an incredible privilege. I shared this story a long time ago, but I remember one time we were, I was actually, Lisa, or I was driving to, Disneyland. I was going to take the 2 older kids, and then Hannah couldn't go with us, and so Lisa had to take her somewhere, and so I dropped them off at church, basically, and it wasn't a Sunday, and so we're on our way, and then I heard the kids talking in the back of the car. And they were saying, like, you know, "Oh, Hannah's not going with us. You know why?" And the basic idea is, well, she's going to go to church today. And the 2 older kids in the back said, "Oh, what? You're going to church? Oh, man." You know, and so I was driving, and I was like, "Hey, this is an interesting conversation." And so while I'm driving, I mean, I was still driving very safely. I turned around and said, so, wait. Are you guys telling me that, because we're on our way to Disneyland right now, are you telling me that you'd rather go to church than Disneyland? And my kid said, yeah. And I was like, what? And I mean, I was shocked. I said, why? Because honestly, I'd rather go to church or Disneyland than church, okay? And so they said, why? And my daughter, Elise, she goes, because church is where people can encounter God. And I mean, if I could, I would pass out the offering right there in the car. I mean, it was just like, it was such an amazing, I was like, oh my goodness. And so that is you guys. That's all the Noah's Ark teachers. That's the nursery. That's all the aunties and uncles that just display Christian love, right? I mean, think about what an incredible blessing. I mean, I don't know if you felt this. So in the second service, more so, but in this last Sunday in our baptism service, in the second service, we got to baptize two youth group kids and two Noah's Ark kids. And, man, it was so powerful. I mean, it was so powerful. You know, the first one, Arlen, came up, you know, the Morris's son. And when he comes up, and then it was so cool, you know, the dad gets up and he says, that's my son, you know, and everyone's cheering, you know. And then Leah comes up afterwards and Ernie goes, that's my daughter, you know. And then I come up at the end because Emma got baptized, that's my daughter. And it was just the idea of family. And this is really, in many ways, the first generation of our kids that were dedicated here at SP. You know, and now, because of your witness, because of your dedication to Christ and the way that you live your life, it was an easy decision for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're trying to do at our church? And to see the manifestation of that, man, I was so overjoyed. And so filled by the Spirit during that time. And I mean, what an amazing privilege. And so first and foremost, man, thank you so much for that. Because we know that, you know, with my four kids and being a pastor's kids, we know that that's not necessarily the easiest road. For instance, remember in the summer, during our retreat, I really felt led by the Spirit during the time, just very spontaneously, that we need to pray for all of our pastors' kids and missionaries' kids. And so we came up and prayed for them. And so, by the way, I guess we never really announced it to the church, but the final tally, the final offerings came in, and we raised something like 230,000 Hong Kong dollars. Divided between 26, can you imagine? 26, one of our members told me that's 5% of our congregation. 26 people that are pastors' kids and MKs that are within our church, Pastor Nate being one here, there's Nellie over here, right? There's Amy, right? I see a few. Hey, you didn't sign up, right? No, I'm sorry, I'm just behind you, right? In any case. We'll talk about that later. And so each person got just a little less than 9,000 Hong Kong dollars. And so I sent out the emails this week, and it was amazing. I got so much love back, so many emails, and said, you know, Pastor Sam, I mean, thanks for the money. It's not really that, but just the fact that you would recognize us and pray for us. And they said that even while we were praying at the retreat, I felt so much healing flow through me, that we were recognized. You know, how difficult it is to, you know, be in a pastor's home. I mean, not this church, you know, but other churches. And so, I mean, what an incredible blessing. And so what I want to say, support me by loving my family. What does that mean? Well, one part is don't place unreal expectations on my wife or my kids, or to that matter, even for myself. But, you know, I'm growing up. I'm a big boy. I think I can pretty much handle it. But, you know, my kids, they're not at that place. You know, my wife also busy with the kids and everything. So don't put any unreal expectations over them. Give my family space to be themselves. You know, whatever caricature or whatever idea that we have of what it means to be a pastor's kid, you know, whatever we grew up with, or, you know, to be a pastor's wife or those type of things, Let's just give them some space to be themselves. You know, let's not put any unnecessary expectations. Sure, I mean, they should behave, right? I mean, of course. But let's not put any of our own baggage onto them and just give them space to really be themselves in this place. Also, and this is, I mean, this is a real word. Also, don't give them a free pass because they're my kids, you know, or they're my wife either. I'm not going to tell you which one. I know you're going to guess, but so one of my kids was with one of the Noah's Ark teachers, and they were playing, you know, the slapping game. And so they were playing the slapping game, you know, where the guy under slaps on the top. And so she was playing with them. And then I guess the Noah's Ark teacher hit her in the hand, right? Because she actually won. And my little daughter, I mean, my daughter, I don't know which one it was. So my daughter says to her, "Hey, you know I'm the senior pastor's kid." I was like, oh, right? And I mean, I think she was joking because she said afterwards she laughed and things like that. But don't give them a free pass either. If they're being rude, tell them you're being rude. Don't let them get away with stuff just because they're the pastor's kid. That's not right. That's not love. When you reframe, that means you actually love yourself more than you love them, because you love your, I don't want to you know, make a fuss. I don't want to. No, that's not love. You know, confronting sometimes is the most loving thing that you can do. I'll give you just a very extreme example of this. Okay, this is very extreme. Obviously, this message deals with my family, so I spend a lot of time talking to my wife, you know, about this. So she said, when you do this illustration, tell them it's an extreme illustration. So this is for my wife. This is an extreme illustration. But I got to spend some time, years ago, I actually went to school with Dr. Young Yi Cho's son. And so his name is also Sam. My name is also Sam. I actually, to be honest, I think my university treated me really well because they thought I was Dr. Cho's son for probably like the first year. I'm just being honest. I was like, man, everyone's so nice to me here. And so, I mean, they knew that Dr. Cho's son, and if you don't know who Dr. Cho is, he's a pastor of the largest church in the world. At one point, close to 1 million members in the church. Now, they're only at about 700,000. And so this is still, I mean, still to this day. Pretty crazy. It's like a city, and I got to meet him, but I mean that's not the story. But there's another son, and he's very much a jackass. I mean I could say that with pretty much biblical clarity. He's been indicted. He embezzled money. I mean it's horrible. And so some of you guys may have stories, but all case. So I was talking to one of my mentors, whose mentor is Dr. Cho. So it's direct connection. And so I was, you know, just having a talk. It was like, and I, like, when I, you know, my I might just share everything, right? I ask a billion questions. I said, hey, what's the deal? You know, and many of us probably struggle, like, how can such a godly man have such a jackass for a kid? Like how does that work, you know? Because, I mean, I respect Dr. Cho so much, but his son, man, this guy is a mess. And so he said, let me give you some insight. So he shared me this story about Japan, interesting enough. And at this time, Dr. Cho would go to Japan all the time and do crusades and things. And his sons would go with him, and his elders would go. And his elders always wanted to, like, please Dr. Cho in some way. And so what ended up happening is that this particular son went out and he saw back in the days, remember back in the 80s, Kawasaki Ninja. Remember the rice rocket? I mean, these you know, all these Asian guys would just ride around these crazy, like, death mobiles. And so, you know, fastest bike. And so he saw this ninja, and as we're walking around, he saw a ninja and goes, ooh, that's cool. The next morning, in the parking lot of the hotel was a brand new Kawasaki Ninja bought by one of the elders. So he took the ninja, crashed it. I mean, just crashed it, made a huge mess. The next morning, you know, it was in the parking lot. Another brand new Kawasaki Ninja was there. And so my mentor was saying, you don't understand how these guys grew up. They were spoiled. They were not spoiled by the pastor. They were spoiled by the elders and you know, so on and so forth and stuff. And so what's the moral of the story? Don't buy my kids any motorbike, okay? I mean, if you must buy one for me, okay? Don't buy one. No, I'm just kidding. But it's you know, overindulgence can lead to disaster. And so when I talk about loving my kids, you know, I'm not just talking about, I'm just even talking, hey, man, you know, my family, don't let them get away with stuff, right? Just because the pastor kid, don't worry. If I find out that you got in their face, I will thank you. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not one of those parents, hey, I'm the only one that can discipline my kids. Heck no, because I'm going to discipline your kids, right? And so, I mean, I'll just be really honest, right? And so I feel like that's what we do is in a family. And so when that those times comes where it's like, hey, you know, I think, you know, with my kids, it's okay. Listen, I give you permission. You haven't given me permission, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so, I mean, I feel like that's probably my role in some levels too. But don't let them get away with stuff. I think that's also a way of loving them in that way. And then, now as it pertains to my wife, don't go through my wife to get to me, right? Like if you have a problem with something that I'm doing, don't go through my wife to get the message to me. And just, you know, just let her be. If you have a problem, just come talk to me about this. I mean, we've had some of the most interesting conversations over the years. You know, one time we had a church member, and they basically didn't like a sermon series that I was doing. And in fact, they really didn't like it. And so so they took, you know, my wife and I out to coffee, and, you know, I was like, whatever, just spending time. And then the whole time they were addressing my wife, not addressing me, right? But it was more like, you know, Lisa, do something about this, right? And I was sitting there going, what the f-? Like, I'm like right here, you know? And so, I mean, again, that's another extreme example. And so it's like kind of appeal. It's like, you know, let's talk man to man, right? I mean, I'm sitting right here. But it's more like, it's more trying to go through her, you know, to get to me. And listen, that doesn't work here. That doesn't work for our marriage either, right? That's not how we roll in this way. And to be quite frank, you know, those kinds of instances bring a lot of pressure in our marriage. And so those are kind of those expectations. And, you know, my wife's freaking out because she's like a really good person, you know, and to her fault, she's an incredible listener. I wish sometimes she would say, that's enough. But she does it. And I mean, to her credit, she's just such an amazing listener. And so she'll listen to all the junk that's passed her way. And so and sometimes she doesn't know how to process it all, right? And so, you know, in that way, like, I mean, honestly, if you don't like something that I'm doing, and that's going to be normal. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not perfect. I don't think I've ever expressed that I was perfect or anything that way. And so there's things going to happen. You may not like it, but come talk to me. You know, don't talk through my wife or, you know, or actually, I mean, talking through the leader sometimes is healthy as well. But just as it pertains to family, that's how you can support my family. Amen? So let's turn to our neighbors, say, hey, good looking, right? So let's support PSAM's family. Go ahead. The second thing when the question's asked, well, how can I support you, PSAM? The second thing, it seems so obvious, support me by praying for me. Support me by praying for me. John Wesley, he says in his famous quote on prayer, says, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. And so we recognize how important prayer is for the kingdom, for the work of God. There's nothing that we can do. Jesus says simply, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's important to have Jesus in our life and have Jesus' power flowing through our lives. So this is my three subpoints, A, B, and C. So three reasons, I'll give you three reasons why you should pray for me. I know this is, I mean, even when I said that, it sounds weird, but it's okay. This is, we're sitting in a coffee shop, all right? Why should you pray for me? Number one, You should pray for me. And, okay, not just me, all our pastors, all right? You should pray for us because pastors face a higher judgment. Pastors face a higher judgment. In James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." The word teachers is didaskalo. And the term, the way it's used in the New Testament, it means teacher, but the way that's used is someone that conveys religious ideas. Or better, it's something that teaches concerning the things of God. And so we're not just talking about teaching like we have a lot of teachers in our school, in the public schools, or in international schools mostly here. That's not the same teacher we're talking about. We're talking about a teacher that espouses the Word of God, a teacher that talks about the things of God. And so we put that in context, which are pastors. We incur a stricter judgment. There is a higher judgment that we face when we see the Lord and we come at the end of our days. God puts a huge responsibility on pastors, as he should. That's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I said that's right. We should have a higher judgment in that way. You know, we steward God's glory in the church and in our communities around us. Our character and our reputation should be unblemished. Right? God and the community should expect nothing less than that, and actually should expect much more from our ministers. And so I'm down with this. Right? It's important, our character, our reputation, you know, all these kinds of things. Yeah, I mean, I take those things to heart. Some of you guys know I play in a softball league here in Hong Kong. We actually just had our first tournament yesterday. We played in the pouring rain, believe it or not, until the thing rained out. And you know, everyone got on my team knows that I'm a pastor, right? In fact, my nickname on my team is the Rev. And it's not because I'm fast. It's you know, I don't like rev up. It's just because I'm pastor, reverend, and things. And so I'm careful because some of you guys have been around me. Man, I'm hyper competitive, right? And so it's just the way I grew up, and you know, playing sports my whole life, and I sometimes have to balance, you know, winning and competitiveness with my witness. And so there's a higher judgment. Right? I mean, if we are playing softball and, you know, one of my teammates gets in a fight, my teammate gets in a fight. But if I get in a fight, it's over. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be maybe not front page news, but it's going to be, you know, in the page 8 of the South China Morning Post, pastor of Solomon's Porch punches, you know what I mean? There's a stricter judgment, and I'm all for that. And so, in that real life, that's why you should pray. The second one, you know, part B, pastors face more intense temptation. Pastors face more intense temptation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 is, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Okay. Think about this for a moment, brothers and sisters. There is nothing more the enemy would like to do than bring down a faithful pastor. Think about that. There's nothing more the enemy would want to do than bring down a faithful pastor. If he does that, man, he defames God's name. He sullies the reputation, not only in ruins the family, but of God, the community, the church. The devil he prowls around like a roaring lion. He so desperately wants to break down leaders. That's his primary agenda. You know, think about this. I mean, just think through with me. A non-Christian commits adultery. He commits adultery. A Christian commits adultery. Oh, man. Wow, that's really bad. A pastor commits adultery. Wow. I mean, that'll break up a church. You know what I mean? I mean, that'll put the movement of God in any so far back. And we see, man, there's something, there's more intense temptation. We all go through temptation. But I should say the consequences of these temptations are, I would say, a little bit more dire as it pertains to those who are in leadership. And so in that way, they face a more intense temptation. You know, there is no sin like the sin of a minister. Let's just be real and honest about that. There is no sin like a sin of a minister. I mean, think about in the last 12 months, what the body of Christ has endured. All kinds of things. I mean, to be honest, one of my heroes, Bill Hybels from Willow Creek Church, one of my heroes, just leaving in shame, you know, because of years of sexual impropriety and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm just shocked, and just the damage that does to the church, the body of Christ, and to the non-believing world, to the name of God and the face of God. And I mean, I just read off names, you know. I probably shouldn't, but man, it's just crazy how this works. And especially a faithful pastor, man, get one of those guys, bam, that's it. You know, and so much so that, but we need to really pray. The devil prowls. I mean, he's looking for all different shortcuts, avenues, and so you need to pray for us. I mean, you really, really need to pray for us. And then the last one here, support me by praying for me, is, and this is more self-serving on your part, because if you do that, you're going to be more blessed. I mean, you know, so this is like for you, really. I mean, think about this. You pray regularly for me, for our pastors. We become better people. Our messages get better. They may not necessarily get shorter, but it's good for you, okay? We become more anointed. I mean, me being anointed, is it for the, wow, I'm so anointed. This is great, God. Is that, no, the anointed means I'm so anointed, I bless and pray for people. And so you're the byproduct of this anointing that we're talking about. And so when that happens, man, it blesses you. And so if you're asking God, Lord, how can, you know, please bless my life, God's saying, pray for your pastor. That's how you can bless your life. I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You know, there's a famous story of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, one of his early preaching sermons, he preached a message quite young in his church, and apparently it was not that great. And as he's walking out of the church, an old woman comes up to him and just stops him in his tracks and says, Pastor Moody, can I have a word with you? And so D.L. said, sure, you know, let's talk. And she goes, you know, your sermon was not very good today. And so he's kind of bracing for, oh, no, here's criticism and those kinds of things. But her response revealed her heart more than anything else. She wasn't there to tear down. She was there to build up. She was like Jesus. Jesus is a carpenter, you know. You heard me say this, any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a skilled craftsman to build a house. And so she wasn't there to tear him down, she was there to build him up. And so she says, and she looked at D.L. and says, I must pray for you harder. I must pray for you more. And so she made a commitment to pray regularly for D.L. Moody. And you know the story of D.L. Moody, man, this guy led revivals all over the, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people came to the Lord. I bet you it was partnership because of women like that. That said, oh, you know, you're not a really good preacher, but you will be one day if I keep praying for you. Isn't that powerful? You know, it's because, see, it's so easy to criticize. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take anything. It's not only is it wrong, but it's so easy. It's something totally different to build up. That's what God's into. Right, I mean, it's interesting that Jesus, his profession is a carpenter. And so he does that with his hands before he launched into ministry. And then he basically built people up even all throughout. And he's still doing it to this day. And so, you know, pray for us because it'll be a blessing to you. Right? It'll be an absolute blessing to you. So support me by loving my family. Support me by praying for me. And three, support me by serving the vision of the house. Support me by serving the vision of the house. Now, listen, I didn't say my vision. I don't have a vision. right? I only have God's vision for what he wants to do in this place. And so I'm not saying serve me. That's, you know, you never hear that coming out of my mouth, but serve the vision of this house. What's the vision? Well, my daughter said it years ago. A church where people can encounter God. A church where the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are welcome. You know, when we thought about SP and our name, and, you know, early days, 15 years ago, you know, with a handful of people, and we're vision casting, and we're thinking about, you know, what's our target audience? I mean, who are we going after, right? And obviously, it was international people, and at first, in the beginning, it was basically bankers and lawyers. But, you know, but is that our target audience? And we're thinking through these things, and we're praying about this, and like who are we trying to reach? That was really the idea as we fill our vision and our values and our mission, and then it just. There's actually something that someone told me years ago, and he just came out and we shared it. I says, you know, this is our target audience. It's on my vision. This is our target audience as a church. Our target audience is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with just simple logic, right? I'm not that smart, but I've put some good thoughts every once in a while. Simple logic by saying, if our target audience is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and if they show up, I think other people show up too. That's simple logic, right? Like if these three guys show up, I think a lot of other people will show up as well. If we can really honor the Father, if we can have an intimate relationship with the Son and be open and receive the power of the Spirit and have a relationship with the Spirit, and if those guys come to church, I think this is a pretty good church, man. That's the kind of church I want to go to. Right, that's the kind of church that I want to serve in, you know, and I think that's the kind of church that we have. That's really our target audience, and that's the vision of this house, is to have a Bible-centered, a biblically-focused, Spirit-led, Spirit-encountered, you know, open to the things, the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit, healing, signs and wonders, prophecy, you know, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, right? Gifts of administration, let the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit that God has blessed the church with would be here, and that we would just honor and welcome the Holy Spirit. That's our vision. That's what we're going for throughout this place. And then with that way of not just, you know, navel gazing, you know, at us, but reaching the poor, the marginalized here in Hong Kong, and then planting churches in megalopolises, sharing what God is doing with us in other megalopolises all over Asia and around the world. You know, and it's not necessary to create this network, but just to have other people experience what we're experiencing here in Hong Kong. I mean, what a blessing, you know, that is. You know, and then lately, the, you know, what God's really been putting on our heart is really kind of the social needs that we see in our city right here in Hong Kong as it pertains to this congregation. And I think it's an absolute travesty that the government, especially government hospitals, have to take care of babies when there's plenty of good Christians all over this city that can very well take care of these kids until they get adopted. I believe that that's our duty. I think that's our mandate, you know, as a church to do that. I know that we're all in different areas of life and, you know, and different things and stuff, but that we be open to this. That's the vision of our church. And I really think it's an absolute shame that we are here. God's been blessing us, you know, and yet there's the most marginalized, the poorest of the poor in that way. And they're sitting in hospitals right now. And for us to show a blind eye, or I think, honestly, shame on us. Shame on us, you know, if that's the case. That we've been open to helping the poorest of the poor, the most helpless. And it's got to be these unwanted babies that are there. That we know right now, you know, Queen Mary, there's like 30 babies sitting there. You know, Queen Elizabeth, another 25 kids, you know, and all over the place. And then we can just for a period of time for, you know, 2 days to, you know, 2 months to, you know, maybe, you know, 8 months or so, just care for this precious child. I mean, what an amazing privilege that is. That's the vision of our church. We want to be that kind of place, you know, and we're trying to be that kind of place and to see how we can help this city. I mean, you know, because, I mean, we have language barriers, we have all these things, but man, we can help these babies. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could really help these babies, you know, and I think more than we can, I think we should. I think that's our Christian duty in that way. And so we minister. And so this is how we serve the vision of this house. Obviously, by serving, I talked about that already, so I don't have to go into that, you know, from a few weeks ago. But you can support me by serving the vision of this house that's here. And the last one, number four, support me by loving my family. Support me by praying for me. Support me by serving the vision of the house. And last one, support me by having my back. Now, this is a little this more personal, right? But support me by having my back. You know, very well-known passage. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 9. You heard me teach on this in the Sonship series. In Genesis chapter 9, we have the story of Noah in verse 20. He says, "Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so they did not see their father's nakedness. Now when Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers.' He also said, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant.'" And so we're familiar with this story. Noah gets drunk. Now, it's not a good thing. You should not be drunk. I actually kind of went back and I tried to understand a little bit of why he did this. Noah's not an alcoholic or anything like that. I think there's a couple of different theories. One theory is we see that actually Noah planted this vineyard. It's different than the wild vineyards that were before. So the content of these grapes was much stronger, you know, and at this stage when Noah's doing this, he's much older. And so most scholars believe that he got accidentally drunk. I mean, I'm not really a drinker, so apparently I guess as you get older, you can't quite carry the drink as much as you did when you were a younger person. And so I'm not making an excuse for Noah, but there's actually some clarification in the text that he wasn't some, you know, alcoholic that's, you know, going crazy. But he got drunk, and not only did he get drunk, but he got like crazy happy drunk. And he got like naked in the tent, you know, and so he's running around doing so. I don't know what he's doing. And so his son Ham walks in and he sees the dad, and then he goes and basically gets his brothers. And so basically, I mean, you can imagine he's like, "Oh crap, what's going on?" And he turns over, hey guys, come on, our old man Pops is like crazy drunk naked, man. Come check him out." Well, so the brothers come in, and they had honor. And so, you know the story. They walk backwards. They dare not look at him. And they took a sheet, and they wrapped it over and covered the nakedness of their father. And I always thought that was kind of a beautiful story. I mean, it's not necessarily excusing the sin, because you got to deal with that. I'm sure Noah very much dealt with that. You know, but it's this idea that you can be kind of like two different kinds of sons in that way. You can be the kind of son that exposes nakedness, or you can be the kind of son that covers nakedness. And so I think in this way, you know, what I'm sharing with this is that, you know, simply as a leader, I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes all the time. And so I think my heart is, love me enough to, first of all, share with me, right, you know, some chinks in my armor or some kinds of things. Because that's, to me, that's love. When we talk about love language, that's real love. That you know, it's besides love, because, you know, honestly, loving yourself is, I don't want to deal with it. that's too much. I don't want to get into a confrontation, so on and so forth. But real love is saying, hey, Peace Sam, can we sit down and have a talk? Right? I mean, obviously, respectfully and you know, in this way, I think that's beautiful. I think that's what we're about, and that's what we should do. You know, talk to me about my blind spots, right? Love me enough to talk to me in a respectable way when you do see chinks in this armor, because the reality, you know, I'm going to talk to you. I mean, if I see chinks in your armor, you know, I'm going to talk to you. I mean, respectfully, right? In that same manner, and so I would appreciate likewise, and cover my nakedness, cover our pastor's nakedness, right? Don't just be about, you know, exposing, come out there, oh my goodness, did you see what Pastor Nate did? Hey guys, come over here. I can't believe what he did. Oh my gosh. And so it's like, what the heck? That doesn't benefit anyone. The loving thing is saying, Pastor Nate, see, I pick on Nate because he's like an angel, right? You know? Because see, if I pick on other people, you'd be thinking, what did he do? But when Nate is like, okay, you know, oh, Peace Sam is a sermon illustration. Right? So, you know, Nate, hey, you know, why did you do the thing? You know, like simple things. I'm confused about, you know, this type of thing. That's so loving. That's covering his nakedness. You know, besides the other part is like, hey, man, did you see? Oh, I can't. That guy he's a pastor. Oh my gosh, and so on and so forth. All right, and that's called exposing. You know, as I find out in the scriptures, the sons cover nakedness. They don't expose nakedness. And then when people, because, you know, the part of this job, I stand in front of you for an hour, you know, once a week. And part of this job, there will always be criticism. I have no issues with that, right? Because that's part of the job. I understand it. I know it. You know, thankfully, God has blessed me with very thick skin. And so, but not too thick, right? You know, I got feelings too. And so, but when people are critical but misinformed, have my back. I mean, it's just really simple. Have my back. I'll give you an example. Years and years ago, when we first started house churches, and, you know, we're putting leaders together, and this one particular house church leader, a bit misinformed, you know, because he had come from another church, and they had experienced explosive growth in the beginning of their ministry. But SP, we've never really experienced explosive growth. We've experienced slow growth. But I think it's quite intentional. I'd rather grow that way. And so this one leader was kind of talking to a bunch of people and say, I think SP is not growing because I think it's Pastor Sam. You know, like he's not a good pastor. You know, he doesn't have a pastor's heart. And, I mean, this is one of my leaders saying this. And so, thankfully, one of my other leaders took the guy aside and basically told him to shut up, you know, and said, hey, first of all, don't talk about your pastor like that. You know, second of all, it's God the one that's causing the growth and stuff. And so, you know, just kind of, in some ways, defending this kind of misinformation. And I think that's good. I mean, you don't have to tell him to shut up. Right, but I mean, this guy was a bit angry, you know. And I mean, I appreciate the gesture, right? But I mean, we're all one family, right? And so, let's use family terms, you know, for one another. But at the same time, I appreciated that. And then, no issue. Right? I mean, I did sit down with that particular person. I said, hey, you know, is there anything, you know, like that you want to talk about? And so, you know, we cleared the air together, which is fine. And just some misunderstandings. For this guy's credit, he basically took his past church experience, and he thought that should be our church experience. But it's not. It's a different city. It's a different group of people, right? I mean, it's like, you know, black and white. It's apples and oranges. And so he just thought, you know, this is the way it should be, but this is not the way it's going right now. And so on and so forth. And so, I mean, I appreciate that in that case, someone had my back in that way. And I think that's good. I mean, as a leader, I appreciate it, right, that we don't have these rumors, you know, swirling around the church, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to break, you know, this disunity that's there. And I think that's so important. I'll give you a more closer or more current illustration of how that's like. Last year, And I think I might share this in one of the meetings. Last year, my family, we were able to go to Australia, and it was awesome. And so it was actually this lady, because I was in Sydney months before, and this lady that I had connected with, and so she's been like listening to our messages, you know, SP, she's been downloading like every week. And really helped her. You know, I've gone out to her area and ministered there. And you know, good, but I hadn't seen her in a long time, like years. And then we reconnected when I was in Sydney speaking at this church. And so she's in another part of Sydney, or I'm sorry, another part of Australia. And she said, you know, Pastor, I would really love to bless you. I would really love to bless you. I want to invite you to come to Australia. Come and stay with us. I'll take care of everything. And just, you know, have a holiday, enjoy yourself, you know, with your family. And, you know, I thought, wow, praise God, that's wonderful. And I ministered to the family. They're basically starting a church themselves, so I was sharing with them, and, you know, and these type of things. And so I thought, wow, praise God. I mean, what an incredible blessing, you know. I mean, really, what an incredible blessing that I mean, she flew out our whole family, my wife, you know, all my kids, and just to relax over Christmas. And I thought people would be happy. Right, so you know, we post some things on Facebook, and you know, I mean, this is the worst kept secret in our family is, you know, I use my wife's Facebook account. I don't know if most of you know that. Like I said, the worst kept secret, you know, and we post pictures. Honestly, the pictures are not really for the church. The pictures are really for our friends and family in California, right? You know, Lisa's mom and parents, and so they could see what's going on with the kids and everything like that. And so we get this, you know, the Facebook post comes out. And then I hear, you know, rumblings here and there. It's like, why is Pastor Sam having so much fun in Australia? I'm being honest, right? Like, he's you know, is that on the church's dime? Like is, you know, is the church paying for his luxurious holiday? You know, these type of things. The church has never paid for any luxurious holiday ever, okay? And so, but these are type of things that, you know, people see. It's like, oh, what's, you know, what's going on? This is too extravagant, you know, for our pastor or something to that effect. And so, and thankfully, we had some people say, hey, actually, this is actually what really happened, you know. And for me, I never thought, wow, this is God's blessing. Like, are you mad at me because God's blessing me? You know, I mean, that's really the kind of the question that I had to ask. Like, are you really upset because God has decided to bless me and my family, you know, and then that this particular woman is so encouraged by the ministry and so blessed by the sermons, you know, that she wants to go out of her way to touch myself and my family. And we had a wonderful time. I mean, so refreshed. It was incredible. And so, you know, are we going to get mad because God chooses to bless me in that way? I hope not. And things. And so, but that's, like, if you think about that, those are the kinds of things that, going all the way back to the first thing, that makes it really tough for pastors' kids, right? That kind of attitude and that kind of response. And, you know, and so, listen, when you hear that kind of stuff, have my back. I mean, it's just real simple, right? Maybe you could ask, well, are you upset because he's happy? You know, like, are you upset because, like, I think pastors get vacations, you know, they get holiday time just like anybody else, you know. Is he, you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of weird, isn't it? But that's attitude. That's sometimes what comes up with people and things. And so, and I think when that comes up, and I say, I told you, this is a very personal sermon, right? You know, this is, again, I know that I'm in a pulpit, but, you know, remember, we're sitting in a coffee shop, so it's a safe place. And so, but man, this is crazy how that works, right? I mean, isn't this the kind of, you know, atmosphere that we want to have in this place? And so, I mean, honestly, when those comments come, you know, our way and those type of things, please, by all means, have my back. And if it really, really, really bothers you, come talk to me face to face, right? Just come talk to me face to face. You know, don't go around other people and do all that kinds of stuff. I'll be very open to share, you know, and I have no issues with that at all. And I think I'm totally within my bounds. And so I can share that. We can agree to disagree, but that's okay. I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, right? I mean, we're all family. We all belong to the same body. But that's personally what I would appreciate Oh, if you ask me the question, Pastor, how can I support you? So number one, support me by loving my family. Support me by praying for me. Support me by serving the vision of the house. And support me by having my back. Amen? Amen. And I know a lot of it was very me. I'm talking about all our pastors, all our leaders. And you can actually take this and you can actually extrapolate this to your house church leaders, to your ministry leaders, other leaders that are around you in this house. And I think if we did that, man, I don't know about you, I think we'd have an awesome church, right? I think we'd have an awesome church. And that's what we're going for. Amen? So let's pray. I just want to reiterate first that, man, we love this church. And I may have pointed out some kind of negative things that happened, but trust me, there are a billion more positives than negatives. Trust me. This body has been absolutely amazing to me and my family. And so I thank you so much for that. And so, this message, I'm not trying to have a issue to grind. Actually, I don't have any issues, to be honest. But, you know, when I thought about this question, this is basically what came to my heart. And so this is what I would appreciate, again, not only for me, but all of our pastors here. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If there's any particular point or, any particular part that really resonated in your spirit, just have this dialogue with the Lord. Let Holy Spirit do His work in us in that way. You know, and then Chris is going to just lead us in a little bit of worship, and we're going to have a time of communion. And so I want to encourage you just to interact with the Lord as He leads a song. Invite the ushers to come, and let me read from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, who does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." And so the Lord commands us to come to his table, to partake of his sacrifice, what he's done for us. And all he asks us to do is to examine ourselves. He asks us to come humbly to the table and begin to look through any parts of our lives that maybe that we've been dishonoring to the Lord. Maybe we've been dishonoring to leaders or dishonoring to our parents or whatever the case may be. And it's a time for us to just still ourselves and come before Jesus and thank Him for what He's done for us, to thank Him for the cross. Pastor Chris is going to lead us in singing, and we're going to pass out the elements. I want you to hold on to them, and we're going to take it together as a body. Is there anyone who's not yet received the elements? Why don't we hold them in our hand, we'll close our eyes and just thank the Lord for the cross. Thank Him for the loss. And express our gratitude. Pray together. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your body broken for us. Thank You for Your blood poured out for us. God, You really did it for us, Lord. And we just come, God, at this table and just to express our gratitude towards You for who You are and for what You've done, God. I know these words are just words, Lord, but You know what's in our heart, God. Thank You. Thank You for the cross. We bless You, Lord. Say to You, this is Christ's body broken for you, and this is the blood new covenant poured out for you. If you're able, let's rise to our feet and let's sing this together as we close our service.
pray together. Father, thank you, God. I thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord, every member. Just personally for me, God, what a tremendous blessing, God. They've been in my life and my family's life, Lord. God, we are so blessed, God, in this house. Lord, and your heart's desire, God, is that we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that we would continue, Lord, to walk together as a family of believers, Lord. That we would continue to, Lord, the iron sharpening iron, God, that we would make one another better, Lord. God, both ways, myself, the congregation in back, Lord. And so would you teach us, Lord God, teach us to obey and submit to our leaders, Lord God. Let us, let me, other pastors, let us do it with joy. God, because we will give an account one day, God. We will be held responsible. And so I pray that the labor, God, would be joyful, Lord, and not hurtful, God. It would be full of life and not death. And so would you help all of us as a church to walk in that manner, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. We love you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want you to hug someone next to you. Say, man, I love you in Jesus' name. Enjoy the rest of your day. Oh, wonderful. Have a great day.